the Lord. Well, before I get started, I just want to welcome everybody on behalf of our pastors, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara. Amen. They love you so much. Pastor is actually ministering this morning in Victory Outreach Las Vegas. Amen. With Pastor Benny. And I know, let's pray for our pastors. He's out ministering. And he's also ministering at a worship seminar tomorrow night for the Nevada region. So let's make sure that we keep them in prayer, him and Sister Barbara. Amen. And then, of course, we want to welcome some special people, Natasha, Joshua, Rosalie, and Annabelle for the very first time here to Victory Outreach Albuquerque. We are so glad that you decided to join us this morning for service. We hope that you're blessed. Amen. We'd love to meet you on the way out. Praise the Lord. And also, I want to take a moment to thank everyone that helped with the Take Your City yesterday. What a powerful, powerful time. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand for what God did yesterday at Take Your City. This part, we gave away all of our backpacks, 100 backpacks full of school supplies. Amen. To families in our community. I know we had a powerful time. We had the fire department out here wetting everybody down with the fire hose. Come on, somebody. Amen. We had an ambulance here. People were taking tours of the ambulance. We had games. We had a jumper. Come on, somebody. How many love a jumper? I was too big for the jumper, they said. Amen. But we had a lot of great stuff. We were giving away food. We were meeting people's needs. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. Amen. When he came, he met people's needs. And so, and then with the stage production, everything that went on stage, we want to thank you so much. Such a powerful time. We had our kids gang worship team. Amen. Singing. We had our kids gang dance crew dancing. Amen. I don't know when the kids gang dance crew was going on. I think I tried to bust a move. I'm sore this morning, but we're going to get through it. They had it going on. And then also the skits. We heard testimonies of 9 and 10-year-olds. I don't know if that moves you. I don't know if that gets you excited when you hear a 9-year-old testify about what God has done in their lives and their family's lives. But I don't know. I get excited because I know that God is up to something here in Victory Outreach. And, you know, it wasn't just us here in Albuquerque. It was Victory Outreaches all over the world together. Amen. Reaching young people for the honor and glory of God. So one last time, I want to thank you on behalf of our pastors, Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, for the amazing job that Team VOABQ did yesterday. Amen. Give yourselves a big hand this morning. Amen. So let's go ahead and jump into the Word this morning. Of course, I want to thank my pastor for giving this tremendous privilege and responsibility to preach in his absence on Sunday morning. Amen. I don't take it lightly. Amen. It's one thing to preach on Wednesday night and Sunday night or at a gang service or even tonight at a gang regional. If you can make your way down south, do it. It's going to be awesome. But Sunday morning, such a heavy responsibility, and I don't take it lightly. Amen. So let's go ahead and jump into our scripture verse for today, John chapter 13, verse 34. John chapter 13, verse 34. And I'm going to be reading out of the ESV version. Amen. Give me a loud amen when you get there. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and read it. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word, Lord, that Father, it moves and changes us, God. And Father, we just pray, God, that you would, your Holy Spirit would have full control here this morning. And Father, that you'd be here with us, God. We pray, God, for your word to come forward with power, God, And Father, do exactly what you intended it to do. I pray for every person in this place, God, as they came in, Lord. I pray that you would meet their needs this morning, God. Some that came in looking for a word or to be changed, or some that might have just been invited in, God. They're looking for hope, God. I pray that this morning that you would meet their needs in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So John chapter 13, verse 34, and the title of this morning's message is Love Like Jesus. Love Like Jesus. So let me read it one more time. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. Now, we look at this portion of Scripture, and the first thing that we see is that Jesus calls this a new commandment. That he makes a statement saying, listen, I am setting a new standard. I'm doing something new. This is something that, you know what, that I've taught you lessons in the past, and you have the Ten Commandments of thou shalt not, and this, and thou shalt not do this and that, and lie and steal and commit adultery and worship other gods and all that. But let me give you a new commandment. Let me set a new standard for you, because I see something that's missing. That there is something that's missing in the body of Christ. Even within the disciples and those that are in the crowd that were following Jesus at this time, Jesus had the discernment to realize that there was something missing. There was something missing. Something that was supposed to be there. And he said, let me set a new standard, a new commandment. And he said that you need to love one another. You need to love one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 3. Says, if I speak in tongues of other men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. He's saying, you gotta have love. It's all about love. We could do all the ministry, right? We could put on all the events. We could be faithful in our giving, right? We could go evangelize. We could pass out some flyers. We could bring our Lolo to the car show. Come on, somebody. We can enter in the 3-on-3 dunk contest basketball tournament. You might be able to do a 360 windmill jump from the free throw line like MJ. But if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. He said you gotta have love. It's about L-O-V-E. You gotta love. And he's not talking about loving God, because I believe we all love God. Right? We love God. God's been too good. Come on. But how many know people sometimes ain't too good? He's not talking about loving God. He's talking about loving one another. He's talking about loving each other. Oh, but you don't know what they did. Well, you know what? God knows what they did, and God still told you had to love them. It's about loving people. That's what we were doing here in the parking lot yesterday. We were out here loving people. We passed out all kinds of flyers. Come on, somebody. Some of you got blisters on your toes, in between your toes. Some of you can't walk because you got sunburnt so bad. Come on, somebody. Ever make the mistake of wearing sandals in the hot sun and then you got the funny stripes on your feet? I got funny stripes on my feet right now. But it's about love. Why do we do what we do? Do we do what we do so we can say we did it? No, we do it because we love people. We were here yesterday loving people. But see, some of us, we're okay with loving the lost, but we still can't love each other. I mean, you love the prisoner, you love the addict, you love the alcoholic, right? But you have a hard time loving the person sitting next to you, across the hall from you. You won't even sit on that side of church. This is my side of church, not your side of, don't you dare come on my side. I make the altar call, you make the altar call on the other side. Let's get into this thing. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It says these three. Faith, hope, and love. And how many of you know that we have to have these three things? We got to have faith. Faith is so important, right? Faith moves the hand of God, right? When you have faith, you can believe. When you have faith, when you put your faith in Jesus, then you can hold on. And when you have hope in Jesus, then you'll never quit. You'll never let go. And he's talking about these two things. He's talking about faith and hope. And it's so important in the Christian's life. But then Jesus says something even more profound. He says, yeah, faith and hope are important, but they're not the most important. They're not the greatest thing. He said the greatest thing of these three is love. Because you can have faith, the Bible says, to move the mountain. And you can have the hope that things are going to get better. But if you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got love, you ain't got nothing. Because the Bible says that love never fails. That never fails. Listen, when you're bankrupt on faith, when you ain't got no hope left. Oh, but if you have love, if you have people that love you, if you know that your God loves you so much that the word says that he'll never leave you or forsake you, if you know that you have the love of God, you know that love will never, ever fail. Let's move on. I like this portion of scripture, John 13:34. Because in the second half of the scripture, yeah, it says it's a new commandment that you love one another. But I like what it says here. It says that you love one another just as I have loved you. He didn't just say love one another like you love. He said love one another like I love. Right? Because how many know that our love is conditional? Right? Our love sometimes can be conditional, like, hey, you know, that's my child, I'll love my child. Or that's my blood, so I'll love my blood. Or that person loves me, so I'll love that person back. Or I can benefit from this person, so I'll love this person. See, that's the human love. But the Bible doesn't say love God, love other people like other people love you. He says, love other people like I love other people. And that how I love you. So he's saying, love people like me. Love like Jesus. Love people like Jesus loved people. Love other people like Jesus loved other people. Love other people like Jesus loved you. 4 points and then we'll get out of here. The first point, well, you have to ask yourself, how has Jesus loved you? Right? How has Jesus loved you? The first thing is Jesus forgave you. Right? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were up to no good, while we were ripping and running, right? While we were doing our thing, while we were out there, right? He still loved you. When you didn't even love you. When your mama didn't even love you. He said, my mama always loved you. Yeah, but she didn't let you in the house. Right? He said, well, you were still a sinner. Well, we were at our worst. He loved us with his best. Well, we were down and out. God was right there. No matter how far away we got, God kept on pulling us closer. See, some of you think you found God, but really God found you. You weren't looking for God. You were looking for your next fix. You were looking for your next hookup. You were looking for your next bottle. You were out there looking for Jesus. Oh, but Jesus loved you so much that even while you were still a sinner, where you were up to no good for nothing, where you were crawling around in the gutter, where you were dumpster diving, come on somebody, where you were in that prison cell, oh, you were locked up, but Jesus still loved you so much that he said, I still got a plan and a purpose for your life. Oh, you came from a broke down family. You came from generations of people that were caught up with no good in crime and drugs. But Jesus said, nevertheless, I still love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to send my only son. Come on, somebody. I said Jesus went to the cross so you could have a second chance. That's how much Jesus loves you. Right? So if Jesus loved you so much that he forgave you, and if Jesus said, I want you to love one another just as I have loved you, then why do you have such a hard time forgiving people? Why do we have such a hard time forgiving others? Matthew chapter 18, 21, 22. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times. Times seven. Good Lord. What he was saying was, why are you keeping track of how many times you've forgiven your brother? Do you think I'm keeping track of how many times I forgave you? How come you keeping track? You're keeping score. Why do we keep score how many times we have to forgive each other? He said, you know, I ain't going to forgive that person no more. I ain't going to forgive. You don't know what they did to me. They did something so bad. They talked about me. Listen, they're not the only people talking about people. Like you ain't never talked about nobody before. Good God. That was a James Brown. That wasn't even... Say, good God. Jesus is better than crack. Bring me back. Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Woo! I said we all want forgiveness, but no one wants to give forgiveness. Right? Forgiveness is like a bank. If you don't make no deposits, you're not going to get no withdrawals. If you don't forgive other people, no matter what they've done, if you don't forgive people that talk about you, don't forgive people for the way they talk to you, for the things they've done to you or against you, one of the greatest attributes of Jesus is forgiveness, grace and mercy. And if you're not willing to forgive, then don't expect to be forgiven. I didn't say it. Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15. Let's move on. Love like Jesus. One, he forgave us. Two, he didn't give up on us. He didn't give up on us. No matter how many times we might have slipped or fell or wanted to give up, no matter how many times that we fell on our face, no matter how many times we got tired and burnt out, no matter how many times that we slipped up and messed up, no matter how many times, Jesus never gave up on us. You know, one of the stories in the Bible that I look at when I think about how God never gave up on somebody, I think in John chapter 11 and the story of Lazarus. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. The Bible says in John chapter 11 that Jesus' friend, that you know, he was a friend of Jesus. He had a personal relationship with Jesus. He wasn't just anybody, but he was Jesus' friend. And the Bible says that Lazarus was sick, right? A sickness that would end in death. Right? It was a sickness that would end in death. But when Jesus heard about it and his disciples asked him, Jesus even said, this sickness will not end in death. That it will not end in death. Right? So we see Lazarus, he's sick. And what happens is Jesus gets there, but he gets there what everybody else thought was too late. And sometimes you think Jesus is too late sometimes. Come on, somebody. You're like, God, you know, I needed you to show up yesterday. Well, God didn't want what you wanted you to have yesterday. God has something else for you tomorrow. Don't worry about what you don't have. Worry about what God wants to give you in the future. Don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday's in the past. Let's move forward now. God has an amazing plan for your life. And I like what he said to his disciples. He said, Lazarus died so that I could be glorified. He said, I have a purpose for this. And sometimes we don't like to hear this, but sometimes we go through things because God has a purpose. Right? Sometimes we go through some stuff, but through that stuff, it's because God wants to bring glory to him. Right? How many of you got a testimony? How many of you can stand on a corner and say, I used to be a no good for nothing drug addict. I used to be this and that. I used to do backflips off of this and I used to run this. And listen, if you never went through that, then how is God going to give you that testimony to use it? Right? And even in the church, when you go through hardships, listen, your hardship today is going to benefit someone else tomorrow. But I want to let you know that God's going to bring you through. Don't ever think that God's going to get, that you're going to go through a hardship, that God's not going to bring you through. Let's get back to Lazarus. So Lazarus is there, and Lazarus dies, right? So Jesus hits the scene, and the Bible says that he had been dead for 4 days. Right? And this is super important because the Jewish people thought the soul left you after 3 days. So no way that Lazarus could come back to life in the eyes of the religious folk. Right? You know what this was? This was an impossible situation. This was an impossible situation. Right? And what I like about how much Jesus loves us, that even when we're in an impossible situation, he never gives up on us. Even when we think it's impossible. God, I know you could do all things, but I don't think you could do this thing. Right? I don't know, God, what you're up to, but I know that you're not big enough to handle this. Listen, God is big enough. God can do it because there is nothing impossible for God. So what happened? That Jesus put Lazarus in an impossible situation. And so it can show us, me and you today, in the church today, that Jesus can, that God, that Jesus can do anything he wants to do, and that he'll never give up on us. Even when you gave up on yourself, even when everybody around you gave up on you, everybody counted you out, everybody said you weren't going to be nothing, you weren't going to go nowhere, that you were always going to be the same, that you had no future, that you would never be delivered, that you would never be set free, that you would never come out of that drug situation, that you would never get set free from heroin or crack or meth, you would never get set free from any of those things. And people said, this situation is impossible. Oh, but then one day Jesus rolled up to Mary and Martha's house. One day Jesus rolled up to that tomb and he looked at that tomb and he said, take the stone away. Right? He said, roll the stone aside. And people were like, no, don't do it. It's going to stink. There's a dead person in there. Listen, when we stunk. Man, we stunk. Listen, I didn't even wash my clothes. I threw my clothes away. Right? You can't wash that. No. You can't soak it. You can't pre-soak it. You can't double wash it. You can't put bleach in that stuff. Just throw that stuff away. Right? Take your sock off and it stand up by itself. I know I got a witness up in here somewhere. I said that white shirt was yellow. Come on, somebody. I don't want a white shirt no more. Woo! But nevertheless, God loved us so much that he never gave up on us. So why is it so easy for us to give up on others? So easy to give up on people, right? They didn't get it right the first time. Well, not a lot of people get it right the first time. I don't know how many people in here got it right the first time. Point three. He helped us become new. Jesus loved us so much that he helped us become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I like what it says here that the old has passed away. Like it died, right? Like it passed away. Don't even trip. It passed away. See, so the problem is some of us treat our old lives like Lazarus. We try to bring it back to life. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we're new in Christ. He loved us so much that he helped us become new. And how many of you are grateful that you're not the same person anymore? How many of you are grateful for what God has done in your life? And not all of us were drug addicts and gang members and all this and that. But how many? But we were still no good for nothing, dirty sinners. Amen? Just because my sin wasn't your sin, that their sin wasn't your sin. Listen, sin is sin. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So it doesn't matter what kind of sin. So don't get tripped out when we say statements like, you know, Jesus is better than crack. Don't get tripped out. Listen, maybe it wasn't crack for you. Maybe it was cheating on your taxes. Come on, somebody. We'll move on from there. But he loved us so much, he helped us to become new. Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you to be tempted. So one of the greatest ways that Jesus loved us is he helped us become new. He loved us so much that he didn't want us to be the same. And that's the same kind of love that we have to have for others. We have to love people so much that we should want them not to be the same. Right? Not to be addicted or going through those kind of trials. We should love them so much that we should be able to talk, to speak into their lives. Not just words that they want to hear, but words they need to hear. Just because somebody tells you something, let's say you have a leader in your life, you have a life group leader, right, a pastor that's trying to talk to you. Is that, why are you always trying to tell me what to do? Right? Or how come you're always trying to correct me? Right? How come I can't smoke cigarettes no more? In the other rehab I was in, we could smoke cigarettes. Well, how did that rehab work out for you? And you're in this rehab now. Okay. Obviously, it's not effective. We're here now. But we have to love people so much that we can't just let them justify their sin. Love them so much that you speak life into them. You don't have to be the same. We're in Victory Outreach, if you don't know by now, we don't just preach messages that make you feel good. Right? We don't just preach messages that, oh yeah, I can still, you know, do whatever I want and serve Jesus. No, we're not that church. We're the church that wants you to fulfill your purpose in life. The reason why God created you. We want you to fulfill your calling that God has given you. We don't believe that we have rehab homes. We believe we have victory homes that are helping people get delivered and set free, but for the call of God upon their lives, to fulfill the purpose that God has given them. We got to love people so much that we want them to change, right? That our honest desire is to help them change, right? To disciple. You know, you can't just be a disciple. There has to come a point in time where you make a disciple, right? In the Great Commission, Jesus was with the disciples for 3 years. Okay, don't show your hands. How many of you have been saved for 3 years? I said, don't raise your hand. Okay. Okay, now, thank you. Praise the Lord. So all of you that have been here, and I'm not saying you have to wait 3 years. You could do it right away. But if you've been here for a while, then why don't you have a disciple? Why aren't you teaching the same things that have been taught to you? Why aren't you encouraging a person that, just like someone encouraged you, someone told you that you could be set free, someone told you that you had a purpose, someone told you that you had a calling, someone told you that you could be whatever God wanted you to be, but then you don't tell, you're supposed to tell somebody else. You're supposed to let somebody else know. At your job or at your school or wherever you're at, let someone know. Don't hold that back. We have to love people like Jesus loved people. And Jesus loved people so much that he helped them become new. In turn, we ourselves should help people become new. If I get the keyboard player up, I'm going to close with this. The fourth point on love like Jesus. Jesus loved us so much that he welcomed us to be a part of his family. He loved us so much, he welcomed us to be a part of his family. John chapter 1, verse 12 reads, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Jesus loved us so much that he made us a family. Loved us so much that he brought us in to be a family with him. The children of God. Co-heirs to the kingdom of God. Loved us so much that we're able to share in his inheritance. that even right now, building mansions in heaven, that he's gone to prepare a place. Jesus loved us so much that even those of us that maybe don't have families, maybe come from broken homes, didn't have fathers or mothers or siblings, and now we have a family in Christ. See, every Friday night we have life groups taking place all over the city where the groups of our family get together and they're able to fellowship and love one another, able to talk and get to know each other, able to get our needs met on a one-on-one basis. Jesus loved us so much that he made us into a family. And it's our responsibility to love like Jesus. That when people come into our church, when we have events out in the park or here in our parking lot or here at the church, and they're lost or they're hurting, it's our responsibility to love like Jesus and then to welcome them into our family. Welcome him into the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the family of Victory Outreach. When was the last time you shook somebody's hand that you didn't know or introduced yourself? Listen, it's hard to come into a group of people that you don't know. Right? Anytime my in-laws get together, I'm there at the corner. I mean, they know me now, but you know, hey, it's hard. Everybody's talking about the way they grew up and things, and right? And I'm just like, hey, I'm over here, right? That's what happens when we all click up. And after service, you're just talking to each other, and you're not welcoming the new people into our family. Some of you talk to the same people every week. Same person you talk to Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Your friends on Facebook, you like each other's posts. Right? Send them funny pictures, memes. But then there's people that are lonely, people that are lost, people that are looking for a family to belong to. Right? And we're bypassing them. Love like Jesus. Jesus came to love the lost. So us as Victory Outreach, let's love the lost. Let's love those that God brings to us. Not with the kind of love that we have. Not with the kind of love that we can offer. But the same love that Jesus loved us with. The same love that Jesus loved us with, that we would forgive others. That we would never give up on each other. Welcome him into our family. Love him with that kind of love. And watch just as Jesus has changed your life and your family, Jesus can change their life and their family as well. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Maybe you came in this morning and you're a visitor. You came in, maybe this is your second or third time here. And you really haven't had a full encounter with the love of Christ. That love that we're talking about, the love that can forgive sin, that love that can never give up on you, that never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, Jesus has a plan for your life. And his plan is not a bad plan or a plan to hurt you. But his plan is a good plan. It's a better plan. Accept Jesus into your heart this morning. The Bible says that tomorrow is not promised. That today is the day of salvation. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to go to the cross for you and die a horrible death just so you could have another chance, so you could have a second chance, so you didn't have to be the same person that you were, but you could be a person that has purpose, that you could be a person that could fulfill. Be it. maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I love God, but I have a hard time loving people. Listen, if you never forgive them, then the only person that you're hurting is yourself. Forgiveness isn't for them. Forgiveness is for you. Love like Jesus. If that's you, you say, you know what? I have a hard time loving people. I have a hard time letting things go. I've been bitter. I've been angry. I've had hate in my heart. I don't want it anymore. I've been held down. I've been shackled. I've been handcuffed with these things, and I don't want it anymore. I want to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. I want worship with freedom, not being held down by hatred and unforgiveness. And as they begin to play this song, I want to invite you up to this altar. If this message spoke to you in any way, you can make your way at this time. This is what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray. Just like Pastor Pat was speaking about God's love, maybe you came up to this altar.